Good morning. It's great to be here. It is great to be here. I love that song. Does it make you think of how great thou art, right? It's great to have Dusty here. Great to have his new wife, Lindsay, here. That's it. I'm teasing. It's great to have Tyler here, too. It's always a joy to have them. When I was younger, I always go to my dad's house for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. Angela wants me to say it's her house, but that's besides the point. And I remember that house just used to be so packed. We had so many people there. And as you get older, people move away, and both of them didn't like us enough to stay. So, but it's great to have them. It's feels like home. Another place I feel like home is here. We recognize as we go through this life, though, that this world, with all the joys, whether it's the holidays, like Stephen mentioned, on the Lord's Supper, and we get to spend time with one another and everything, that it's no match to what it will be like in heaven. This morning, I'd like to talk to you about, it was kind of inspired, if you will, by a song, and I'm going to read the lyrics here in a little bit. I want you guys to please think of the context, okay, of the words of the song. It has some strong language in it. It's not anything too crazy, but I just want you to pay attention to the lyrics. But really where I'm going with this lesson is the way of the world. It feels, especially lately, bringing up the election, I'm not going to go into it at all. But if you look at, there's just such a divide that we have in this country. I see the whole world is going through all these changes, and again, that we're divided. I feel more than ever. There's just so much fighting. People can't seem to have a civil disagreement anymore. There seems to be a lack of dialogue. Lack of conversation. This country is lacking severely in so many different areas. You know, my kids say the Pledge of Allegiance at school. And in the Pledge of Allegiance, it says one nation under God. I feel like we're far from where we used to be. And that's a shame. The absence of love is a issue, whether it's people communicating with one another, the absence of the love that people truly just don't know God, don't know Jesus, don't know what's available to them, or they don't care. When we look at the life of Christ, we see a couple common themes. See how he treated people. See how he conducted himself. Those are a couple things that I'm going to get into today. Now, about that song, I'm going to read the lyrics to it. And again, I want you to understand the context of, hopefully it'll all wrap in, but it says, a boy moves to city, lives fast and goes hard, starts chasing the devil through honky-tonk bars, ignoring the voices in his head that say, I don't think Jesus done it that way. Boy's all alone, got no one to turn to. He figures he'll pray, because what else would he do? He said, I wish you would have woken me up an easier way. But I don't think Jesus does it that way. If I was him, I'd say to hell with you. There's no helping you. Find someone else to give heaven to. I'm telling you. I'd shame me. I'd blame me. I'd make me pay for my mistakes. But I don't think Jesus does it that way. World likes to rear back and throw a few stones. So boy wants to throw a few stones of his own. But Lord knows I ain't perfect and it ain't my place. But I don't think Jesus does it that way. How blessed are we that we have a Lord and Savior. Now, when you think about it, you know, there's so many people that say, oh, well, only God can judge me or what have you, but thank goodness that I'm not the judge. If you look at all the shortcomings that every one of us have, I think we would too say, there's no help in you. So, the song is a perfect example of what not to do. The guy's out in the world, he's sinning, he's looking to himself to find the answer to life. But I think that we need to really understand the point of the song. And the point of the song is, am I living the way that Jesus wants me to live? Am I emulating Christ? So I'm going to go through a few examples today about, are we following the example? Are we treating people the correct way? How are we conducting ourselves? So, moving on. Again, the song's a perfect example of what we are not to do, looking to do and seeking out evil. Even though this seems like what the majority of people in today's world do. There's a point to it again. There are things that we can't forgive. Have you ever met someone like that? Have you ever met someone that, you know, we all make mistakes, but have you ever met someone that you do them wrong one time and there's just no way back? I don't think Jesus does it that way. If you turn with me to John, the first chapter in verse 14, it said, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the question is, are we following the example? And the example is, of course, the example that Christ set when he lived his life here on earth. How are we treating one another? I think we can agree that if you watch the news or even if you're just walking down the street, you can see that people, for the most part, have forgotten how to treat each other. There's so much fighting, like I mentioned earlier. There's so much disagreement. There's so much hatred in people's heart that they want to get one up on each other. People are, instead of looking for the good, people are looking at the faults of people, and they're looking for the bad things that are going on in their lives. It seems to be a natural occurrence. Again, if you watch the news or even just go through your day-to-day, you see the terrible mistreatment of fellow people in our walk of life. In John, the 13th chapter, verses 34 through 35, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to go there. I'll read it to you. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Love. Now, we go through a lot of things, and people think that, you know, what is love? Well, love is not necessarily a feeling of butterflies, a Twitter-pated feeling that you get. We're talking about love with action. Love of, I'm wanting the best for you. You know, we have all met someone in our lives that maybe they didn't like what we said to them at some point or another. Maybe you've met someone that was addicted to drugs and alcohol or something like that, and a love that you can show them is tell them that I want you to get help, that I want you to get better. Now, they may not like hearing that, but love is wanting them to do better. Love is wanting them to be right with God. Oops. So are we really loving one another? Are we taking the steps that are appropriate to show our love to one another? Are we showing forgiveness? We see the examples throughout the Bible of Jesus showing forgiveness. Think of Peter, the Apostle Peter, who turned his back on him in the time that, by all intents and purposes, you would really want your friend there for you to say, yes, I know him. He hasn't done anything wrong. Yet he turned his back on him. Forgiveness is something that, if you think about it, we really base our whole lives on. If it wasn't for the forgiveness of our sins, we would have no hope. It is the focal point of our life, knowing that Jesus forgives. We know that we have all messed up and done wrong to someone, said some wrong thing, did, you know, did something that we shouldn't have. We read in Romans, the 3rd chapter in verse 23, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have. There's only one who didn't, and that's Christ Jesus. So it shows that we really have the terrible need and the necessity to have Jesus forgive us of our sins. And in Colossians, the 3rd chapter in verse 13, it says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Are you not forgiving people? When someone comes to you and says, you know what, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Are you truly accepting that, or are you just saying, whatever, okay, fine. Do you really mean that you're forgiving them? Are we following the example that Christ is teaching us? Once you repent of something, it's forgiven. You don't need to keep saying sorry for it. The people feel the need to say sorry for it. Maybe it's a guilty conscience, or maybe they feel like they're truly not forgiven. So are we truly forgiving people when they apologize to us? Not only do people not forgive, but we have this issue with people holding grudges. How do you act when someone has done wrong to you? Are you holding a grudge? Have you ever met someone that holds grudges against people? Yeah, they're a good guy, but no, I don't want to be around them or anything like that. That's not forgiveness. That's not giving them an opportunity to repent to you. In fact, in Matthew, when Jesus was asked in Matthew, the 18th chapter, verses 21 through 22, it says, then Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven times. So 490 times is the cap. Is that what he's saying here? No. You forgive them just as Christ. I can promise you one thing. I've sinned more than 490 times. Thank goodness that there's not a cap on forgiveness if you're truly changing your heart, if you're truly repenting to him. So what he's saying is that you forgive someone just as he forgave you. It's an issue nowadays. People forgot how to be civil with one another. People forget to have understanding. People forget to have compassion. We as people, unfortunately, are imperfect. But we need to show each other compassion. Have you ever met someone with the way that they go about their lives, the way that they conduct their manner, that they're a quote-unquote holier-than-thou person? Has anybody ever heard that term before, holier-than-thou? Have you ever met someone like that? Is that someone that you want to be around? Is that someone that is going to be saving people? That is going to be introducing them to the gospel. If you're walking around acting like you're better than everybody, that's not a good way to save other people. If you're wanting to get through to someone, you need to have understanding. You need to have patience. And most importantly, you have to have love. People out there seem to have a superiority complex, act like they're better than another person. I worked with a guy at work that, you know, he's a good guy, but he truly thinks he's better than people. And he carries himself in that manner. And therefore, he's not the most popular guy at school. So how are, or at school, at work. But the thing is, how are you carrying yourself? Are you carrying yourself as someone that has the love of God in them? Are you carrying yourself as someone that wants to save others? Are you carrying yourself the way that, hey, let me introduce you to Jesus. Let me talk to you about God. Or are you just saying, he's not going to get it anyway. Is that your approach to your everyday life? Is that your approach to spreading the gospel? We need to make sure that we are not a holier-than-thou person, that we're not acting superior to anybody, because I don't think Jesus did that either. I think Jesus wanted to save people. I think Jesus wanted to listen to people, or I believe. So, are you leading a life... Are you leading a life of thankfulness? We just had Thanksgiving and we went around the table and said, what are you thankful for? Isn't that great to sit there and think about what you're thankful for? I hope that we're not doing it just one time a year. I hope that we are living a life full of thanksgiving. When you start your day off, what are you most thankful for today? Maybe a good way to go about it, right? Do we walk around feeling like something is owed to us? That I'm a good guy and therefore I should have all these blessings that a good guy should have. You know, we see people that are again have the superiority complex and we have people that we see are so-called Christians. There was a video that was going around a few years ago, and it was some people that were Christians and they had these signs out and everything like that, and those signs were hateful. They were mean. They were used to hurt people. I don't think that Jesus did it that way or does it that way. I think Jesus, again, showed love, showed understanding. So many people are standoffish and aggressive. Is that the way that we are going to be saving people? In John 3:16-21, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light came into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." We live in a world where people love darkness. They want to continue doing evil. And the fact of the matter is, if you look at it, we were once that way, right? In Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 2-5, it says, "In which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power in the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out these desires of the body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together by Christ. By grace you have been saved." So God is rich in mercy. We were once that way before we obeyed the gospel. We were once children of darkness. But God gave us a way back to him. God is rich in mercy, and he loved us. And the way that he showed that he loved us is by sending his Son down. Now think about this for a second. You know, we read in the beginning that, you know, John 1, and the very first verse of John 1 is, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," right? So Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus was in heaven. Yet God loved you and loved me so much that he wanted us to have a way back to him. We sin, we turn away from God, and he wanted us to have a way to get back to him. And he came down from heaven to do that for us. Take a second to truly appreciate what that means. Take a second and focus on it. Are you thankful for that? Are you leading a life that shows thankfulness to that? And Jesus, the great thing, like I mentioned before, is that he lived a life, and it's not some question game of how we are supposed to act. It's not a question. Jesus led by example. We are to mirror Jesus. So are we having the love of Christ in our hearts when we are talking to people, when we are forgiving people? You know, we talk about the Apostle Paul going back to the perfect example that we have. We follow his example and the examples of those who Jesus sent. We have many examples throughout the Bible. Think of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, who earlier in his life was killing Christians, and he had a way back to Christ. Even Paul himself said that, in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 1, he says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." So God and Jesus put these people in places so that we can learn from them too. Are we having the proper thinking? Are we having the mind of Christ? Again, look at the example. Like the song that I read earlier points out, the boy knows he's doing things that Jesus wouldn't do. Is that the way that we approach our lives, saying, well, I know that I'm not Jesus, so why even bother? Is that the attitude that we have? That we're just going to keep sinning, that we're going to keep going down the wrong road because, well, you know, we're not perfect. That's not the way to do it. We are to emulate Christ. That's a horrible way of thinking. The Lord knows that we don't walk perfect. But he still, you know, the Apostle Paul says in one of his writings that he has the want to do good, but not the ability. So what I'm saying is, are we making every effort possible? Yes, we're going to slip up, but are we making every effort possible to be living a Christ-fueled life, to be living as great as we can, to be living as Christ, if that makes sense? In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 32, it says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Again, are we forgiving people? Are we being tender-hearted? Are we being empathetic to what people are going through? Have you ever told someone, you know, hey, I'm going through this, and they just don't seem to care? Has that ever happened to you? That's not the way that we should act. We should be acting with love. We should be acting with wanting them to do better, with reaching out a helping hand, offering to help them, just the way that Jesus gives us, right? People have forgotten or ignored the way of tenderheartedness. So often we don't show the kindness or the compassion. Again, you hear stories all the time about people just show no compassion, show no empathy or anything like that. They don't show love of the fellow man. That's not following what Christ has put out for us. In John, the 13th chapter, in verse 15, it says, for I have given you an example that you should also do just as I have done for you. Again, it's not a mystery game. Jesus' life is detailed in the scriptures. It shows us the way that we are to act with people, the way that we are to communicate with people, the way that we are to conduct our lives. It has been revealed to us. In 2 Peter, the first chapter in verse 3, it says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Again, just going back on that, it's not a guessing game on how we are to treat people. It's not a guessing game on how we are to walk our Christian walk. Now, let me ask you a question. If you want to get good at something, do you just think that one day you're just going to be great at it? Tyler wanted to be a pro basketball player, but he never played basketball. Is that the way that we are approaching our lives? Do you think that you're just going to be able to do all these great things and save all these people through osmosis, or do you need to work at it? Right? Are we living a Christ-filled life? Are we living a life that is a reflection of Christ? It takes practice. We have to be diligent in our Christian walk. Can't do it just one day a week. Has to be an everyday thing. We know that we are not justified through our faith alone. Knowing that it takes more than just a belief, it takes a commitment. It takes love. It takes the work that you put into the service and the praise of the Lord. It takes that Jesus is absolutely 100% preeminent in your life. He's the number one thing in your life. In Philippians, the third chapter, verse 12, it said, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus made me his own. Again, he's working at it. He's trying to save people. We're living a life that is a reflection of Christ. Again, I already read that. Okay, so have you ever heard the term gospel mirror? Raise your hand if you've ever heard the term gospel mirror. Well, what does that mean? Gospel mirror is, are you truly evaluating yourself? Are you looking into that mirror and recognizing the person that's there? Are we doing this? So you have to be honest with yourself. There's some people that go, yeah, I mean, I'm doing pretty good. Is pretty good enough? You have to be honest with yourself. You have to do an evaluation of yourself. You have to question if that makes sense. You have to question your faith. Am I doing everything that I can be doing? Am I living the way that I should be living? Am I acting the way that Jesus acted? So you have to do a real examination of yourself In 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter and verse 5, it says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test?" Are you failing the test? Are we, again, taking account for what we're doing in our lives? We see throughout the Bible that Jesus always honored the Father and always gave glory to him. Countless examples of this are in the Bible, but when asked what the greatest commands were, Jesus had this to say. In Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 36 through 40, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love your Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and prophets." Now let me ask you a question. Did Jesus live like that? Did he love the Lord his God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength? Did he love his neighbor as himself? Are we doing that? We see the example. Again, Jesus shows us that he did this. In John, the 15th chapter, verses 11 through 14, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you, who was willing to pay the ultimate price for you." Again, Jesus showed his love to us by dying on the cross for our sins. He laid down his life to make sure that we have a way to get back to heaven, that we have a way to get back to the Father. And he did just that for you, for me, and for everybody. Jesus shows his love and continues to show his love to all who will receive him. The greatest commandment is love. That's the thing that we are lacking in this world. It's the reason that we have all of this fighting and all of these things, is because there's just a lack of love, whether it's for God, whether it's for your fellow man. When you love someone, you honor them. You understand that they want what is best for you, and they're going to do right by you. Love is not a feeling, again, of butterflies. Love doesn't treat others badly. It doesn't hold grudges. It doesn't conduct themselves in a bad manner. Want to know an example of love or an expression of love? Love is the invitation that Jesus gives to all of us through God and our Father in heaven, through his Son. And the invitation is for everybody. You have to hear the word of God. Hear meaning understanding the word of God. Seeking through the word of God to understand what it says. You have to believe. Believing that this is the way that I'm going to get to heaven. Believing that he gives me all that pertains to life and godliness. Believe that this is how I need to treat people and how I ought to conduct myself. You have to confess, that is with your mouth, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. You have to repent. Repent doesn't mean, oh, I'm sorry. Repent means that you are truly changing your mind. You have a change of heart, that you're not going to do those things anymore, that you're going to turn away from the ways of the world, that you're going to turn away from treating people badly, you're going to turn away from conducting yourself in a bad manner, and be baptized into a covenant relationship with God, saying that I am putting you first, Lord. I'm always going to seek you first. So if you're subject to the invitation, won't you come? All together we stand and sing.